This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Today is the first day where citizens in San Antonio, residents of District 9, can put an application down with the city clerk's office and say they want to be the next representative from District 9. The current or the now former city council member, Elisa Chan, her resignation went into effect on Friday. And so we're trying to talk, have a community conversation about where do you want to see District 9 go, who do you want to see represent, and what do you think about Elisa Chan's departure and her future political ambitions. We invite you to give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and comment directly on our website at tpr.org. With me in the studio, Gilbert Garcia. He's a San Antonio Express News columnist, and he's been covering the Elisa Chan issues, but what's happening with City Council. So we have a brand new rule, a charter rule, mm-hmm. about how to replace someone on City Council. Gilbert, so what is happening?
Well, last year, the referendum went before the voters of San Antonio, and the voters approved an amendment to the city charter, which would create a new process for filling council vacancies. And what the charter amendment will create a mechanism where we'll have elections to fill vacancies. Now, in this case, because the elections will take place at the next on the date of the next general election or election that will that municipal election that we'll have. In this case, it would be next May. So in the interim, the council will then pick someone to fill an interim appointee to fill the seat until the voters get to vote in the special election in May.
So the person who gets appointed now will basically be there for about 7 months.
That's right. Now, there's always the possibility that they could appoint someone who will then decide to run in May. And that's going to be an interesting issue to see how that's dealt with. Elisa Chan obviously has no say in this. She's not a member of the council now. But she was very vocal about the fact that she wanted her the interim appointee to be somebody who would not run in the special election in May, because she thought that would give anyone in that position an unfair advantage. Carlton Soles, the District 10 council member, who's a close ally of Elisa Chan's, he also was very feels very strongly about that.
I don't understand that. Why not appoint somebody who could run? If you find somebody, it's up to the voters. If they've got 7 months to prove themselves, and if you say I'm just going to do it for 7 months and not run, I mean, how much of a commitment you're going to get from somebody who's really going to represent District 9?
I mean, the thinking is that it's an unfair incumbency advantage. Although Leticia Osuna was appointed a couple of years ago, or actually early 2012, I guess, and when she ran this year for that seat in District 3, she wasn't able to hold on to that seat. So, the irony about this is Elisa Chan actually sought out an appointment in late 2007 when Kevin Wolf decided to leave the city council. He had that same District 9 seat, decided to leave the city council to run for commissioner's court. And she wanted that appointment. But Kevin Wolf felt very strongly that he wouldn't support anyone for that appointment, unless they agreed not to run for the seat the next time the seat was open. And Elisa Chan had already decided she was going to run. So she backed out of the appointment process because but if she could have, she would have tried to get the appointment and then run in the next election.
Well, let's talk about District 9. Is it really that different than the rest of the city in the way that they want a representative It seemed like they have a different temperament of representatives coming from that area.
I think that's true. I mean, we tend to think of District 9 as the most conservative district in the city. I think it's true. District 10 is pretty conservative also, the district just east of it, also north of the Loop.
And these are in congressional districts that are Lamar Smith's kind of in there.
Right.
And also that's where Kiku Canseco and was it District 20, congressional District 20? Or 23rd.
Yeah.
23rd. And that was a strong pulling point for him.
Right. And Donna Campbell's Senate district, you know, is very close to, you know, lines up pretty closely with District 9, and that's why Lisa Chen's running for that Senate seat. But, you know, District 10 is pretty conservative, but we have seen the occasional exceptions to the rule. We saw Chip Haas several years ago elected, and he was a pretty progressive figure in District 10. District 9 is pretty conservative, consistently on the Republican side. Before Lisa Chen, we had Kevin Wolf. I think that seems to be the district where we have the figures who are really trying to hold the line on city spending and pushing for lower taxes, and will generally kind of push back against whoever the mayor is at that time.
So it is logical to assume that in order to do the people right by District 9, that they should appoint someone who would reflect those values.
That's true. I think the most perfect scenario for Mayor Castro and you know, the great majority of council members support him. And so I think that ideally they would want someone who represents District 9, but maybe does so in a way where they're able to work together maybe in a better way than we've seen Lisa Chen and Mayor Castro for a variety of reasons over a period of time. There was kind of a breakdown in the relationship there. And her, I think she began to see her role as just very antagonistic and confrontational with the mayor. And some of the candidates that we're going to talk about who are possibly going to seek out this appointment, I think, may share a lot of her views, but would probably approach the job in a more conciliatory way.
The number to call if you want to join the conversation, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. I mean, but on the dais on city council, I mean, they weren't bomb-throwing. I mean, Lisa Chan was still composed herself and mm-hmm. did the business. I mean, I don't want to make her demonize her and make her seem like she was, right. Totally not willing to work with the city. They did many things.
Yeah, I think that's true. But, you know, there you did start to see, particularly in the last year, that in some of the, the email messages she would send to her constituents, she was really going after the mayor. It started to become much more of a personal battle.
I never got any feedback from him that he was offended by that. We never went after her.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I mean, again, it was, there's a civility that might be maintained on the dais, but you know, I think behind the scenes there was
and he didn't really need that vote from District 9. He pretty much could, he had enough of a constituency on city council to do pretty much what he wanted.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a certain dynamic that you see with District 9 and 10 where those council members tend to be, and I think now recently more than ever, they tend to be alienated a little bit from the rest of the council.
And even then, at the end of the day, to get the pre-K for SH, she joined that vote. It was unanimous. So we're going to continue the conversation about Lisa Chen, District 9, who should represent the district coming up, because there's going to be a city council appointment. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. It's The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking local politics with San Antonio Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia, particularly District 9 on City Council. Lisa Chan, her resignation went into effect on Friday. City Council today begins taking applications at the City Clerk's office if you're interested in applying. Who do you want to see represent District 9 at City Council? They'll be on the dais in the big chair for the next 7 months. So there probably really needs to be a community conversation about this. Call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And so, Gilbert, you've written about this, and I know you've said that Joe Cryer, who is a big wig in San Antonio, that his name has popped up as someone who's being considered.
Right. And Joe Cryer would probably be the epitome of the kind of interim figure who would that would be sort of palatable to everyone. You know, he has no interest in running in May, so that wouldn't be an issue at all. He's 67. He's right the oldest of
in his credentials.
20 years as the CEO of the Greater Chamber. You know, he's kind of a low-key diplomatic sort of figure. I think that he would probably be somebody that he'd be a comfortable fit for a few months. I think. Now he did tell me last week that he hadn't. He was not 100% sure that he was going to apply, but he said he was getting a lot of people were approaching him about it, and he was taking it seriously.
He'd be a good person to sort of cleanse the palate, you know. let's put somebody in there who can not be inflammatory, mm-hmm. and who will bow out. But he certainly knows has a great reputation of integrity in San Antonio, and would be able to be a good person for that.
His consulting group, basically he's working with businesses providing consulting services. He would be a real pro business figure, which I think would be. Appropriate for District 9.
Well, who knows? I mean, right now, I mean, we're seeing this schism in the Republican Party of anti-establishment Republicans, and we have the disruptors that like Ted Cruz coming from the Tea Party, and they may see Joe Crier as not of this era anymore.
Well, this is the thing. We've in municipal politics. One of the positive things about it has been that while we tend to know what parties the individual council members belong to, there is at least the appearance of nonpartisanship, and it's allowed for council members to sort of work together because they don't have that party attachment. And I think that one of the distressing things was seeing recently, with the non-discrimination ordinance and all the issues that flared up with Lisa Chan, you started to see social conservatism kind of come into the picture, and you started to see a lot of the partisan rancor that we don't generally see it on council.
So you bring up the non-discrimination ordinance, and of course you can't do that without mentioning Lisa Chan, who's pretty much the center of attention right now, and she of course had the secret tape recording her. So. Would a person who gets appointed need to have taken a position on the non-discrimination ordinance to, could carry to actually be a good replacement for her?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that comes up. The process is going to go on. The applications will come in this week and next. The council will interview applicants the following week and then make a decision. Basically, the day after they do those interviews. So it's a very quick process. This is something that's already been decided. It's not going to come up for a vote when this interim appointee comes in. So I don't think it would be necessary for them to raise the question. But it's possible they might just want to get that person's opinion.
Now, I got an email question, a comment, brings up a great point from John. It says, why would we want to follow the wishes of a council person who has given up their seat to pursue bigger things? If the council person leaves the council, why should that person have any influence over their replacement?
That is a great question. And Lisa Chan has suggested she's basically picked someone she would like to see be the appointee, Bob Leonard, who's a local realtor. But how seriously they'll take that, it's hard to say. Now, when Kevin Wolf left his seat, it was very different. There was a little bit more time involved in the process, about 6 weeks, and he actually helped to put a panel together, and they vetted the candidates, and he actually set up something where he said, he suggested to people who were going to apply, if you want to do this, you should spend a couple of days following me around to see if this is something you really want to do. A pretty well-known local business person that I know of followed him around for 2 days and said, I can't do this. I don't want to do it. So I think that process probably allowed for a little bit. There was more vetting involved, and this is going to be quicker. I think the council in that case took it more Kevin Wolf's recommendation more seriously. He basically took the wishes of that panel and said, that's the person I support. And in that case, it was Lewis Rowe. But with Elisa Chan, she's leaving on not the best of terms with her council colleagues, and so they may be less likely to look at her choice.
The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you want to join the conversation, if you got a question or a comment about the tenure of Lisa Chan on the city council and about her political future and who do you want to see take that seat over. Another name that has popped up, I don't know if it's a serious person to consider, but Weston Martinez, and he has become the person who was fighting against the non-discrimination ordinance, and I believe he is been behind maybe some recall efforts, and
that's right.
And so what for saying almost like I dare you to Mayor Castro. I dare you if you really want to carry on the spirit of Elisa Chan on City Council, appoint Weston Martinez.
Well, nothing would be more magnanimous than
it would be entertaining to say the least.
But we talked recently, and he was. I mean, he seemed pretty aware that he's led a recall effort against Diego Bernal, against the mayor, against the non-discrimination ordinance, and I think he realizes there's no way he would get appointed by this council. But I would look for him in May when we have the special election. He's pretty likely to be a candidate at that time. So one of the funny things that came up when I talked with him was I said, well, you know, you've been leading this effort to recall Diego Bernal and the mayor because of the non-discrimination ordinance. And how would that come into play if you hypothetically got appointed? And he basically said, well, I would be so busy, you know, on the council that I really probably wouldn't have time. I probably wouldn't worry about the general feeling was, you know, I may just put that recall effort aside if I become a council member.
It would be interesting to see another sort of disingenuous recall effort turned on him, just as it has been on Councilman Bernal, him to be in that seat. He's out there in front of Bernal's district headquarters every weekend. I see him, and they are not letting up. This recall effort continues.
Yeah, but you know, he said, "Well, if I got appointed, I would in the spirit of doing right by my district, I would work with Diego." And so, again, that is the longest of long shots. But and I don't know that he will apply because I think he recognizes that it's such a long shot.
Now, I mean, let's talk about Elisa Chan. She has resigned to run in the primary for against the. Dr. Donna Campbell, who's the state senator from that area. That seems like – what do you think her chances are?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to see her winning that seat. I think some people probably look and think, well, she had some of these problems with the council and the secret recording came out and she's decided to run for the seat. In fact, she had her sights set on the seat, you know, as soon as Donna Campbell got elected. And I think that her feeling is that there are people in San Antonio on the Republican side who would like to have a San Antonian in that seat, which Donna Campbell is not. I just don't think that's gonna mean a whole lot. I think there are whatever the general electorate thinks about Donna Campbell. I think within the Republican Party, and that's really what counts in this battle. Donna Campbell is a social conservative. That's how she got in, and I think a lot of Republicans in the district like her for that. And I don't know what Elisa Chan's going to offer aside from the fact that she's from San Antonio.
Yeah, there's no sunlight on the right on Donna Campbell. You can't get onto her right flank. It's already occupied.
Yeah, and you know, we saw when Elisa Chan was battling against the non-discrimination ordinance, when she spoke from the dais, she would get these big ovations. And I think it's when you're in that situation, it's tempting to think that all that support is support for you. But I think a lot of it was she just happened to be the person who was representing what that group wanted at that time. I don't know that these are necessarily going to be loyal supporters of hers.
Did she think she was going to be able to ride the wave from her opposition to the non-discrimination ordinance into victory in that primary fight?
Yeah, I think so. I think she again, obviously the issue with the recording and all that, these were things that she didn't envision. And I think she was planning to run for this Senate seat anyway. But once that happened, I think there was a school of thought in her camp that this was something that could actually work for her.
Well, what if she didn't? Could she have run for reelection again on city council, or she termed them out?
No, she could have run again.
Do you think she would have survived even after all this controversies? Not just this one, but also the land deal that when the city bought property for a library and she forgot that she owned land right next to it.
But didn't tell her fellow council members about it, yeah.
And then and how did we let that pass? I mean, how did we, you know, why wasn't that followed up on? Where was the ethical investigation on that?
Yeah, well, they basically tabled the vote on that for a period of weeks and then ended up approving it. And, you know, the argument made by city staff at the time was that she was not really involved in the process. She should have told her fellow council members. The most generous sort of view of it would be to say that maybe there wasn't such a distance between her and some of the fellow council members that entered into her lack of communication on it. But it's... The question is, how much has this meant to her district's voters? A lot of people in her district who have issues with the mayor have seen her in recent months as the symbol of the opposition to the mayor. And so I think she would have still been tough to beat in District 9 because of that, because within her district there are a lot of people who like that.
Now, one question we got online is, what are the possibilities of a regular citizen, a constituent, a dark horse getting the appointment, someone who is just not on the radar, just a regular resident from District 9?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, when Leticia Osuna got the appointment, she was not the favorite in District 3 in early 2012. I think she just really wowed the council members with her knowledge, particularly of technology issues. And she kind of came out of nowhere in that case. It's always possible. One person we haven't mentioned, Allison Greer, who was chief of staff for Kevin Wolf when he was a council member, and she's worked for SAWS, and she's now with the Center for Healthcare Services. She's also intending to apply, and I think that she's somebody who would be a serious candidate.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Gilbert Garcia from the San Antonio Express News, talking about local politics at District 9 on San Antonio City Council. We're going to wait and see what till November 1st. That's when applications, the deadline.
Right. And then the following week, they're going to make their decision.
All right. And so you've been listening to The Source on KSTX. And we will be right back after this NPR news break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the new Middle East, what's happened after the Arab Spring, and what can we expect for the future. Stay tuned.